transmitting all day.
I would like for you today, if you will, stand and turn to the book of Judges, chapter 16. Judges chapter 16, verse 19. And she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man and caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. I'm going to talk about sleeping in the wrong woman's lap. Sleeping in the wrong woman's lap, or haircut in the devil's barbershop. Either one. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, what lap are you in? Some of you all didn't say nothing, but you in some kind of lap. As the flowers depends upon water for growth, as great doors depend upon small hinges to open and close, as cars depends upon gas to run, and doctors depend upon medicine for healing wounded bodies, so does man, and every living creature depends upon sleep to stay alive and active. Webster says that sleep is a period of rest in which most conscious mental and physical activities of the body is suspended. It is a strong power that rules the body once it takes hold. The feet stop walking. The eyes stop looking. The tongue stop talking. The ears stop hearing. The hands loose their skills, and the snoring begins. Sleep is a wonderful thing, and nobody can live without it. Sleep is meat for the hungry, drink for the thirsty, rest for the weary, a home for the homeless, a friend to the friendless, and a comfort for those who have troubled heart. In it the oppressors soothe their angry brow, and the sad forget their sorrow. And when sleep takes hold, the bereaved forget their losses, and the hurt forget their pain. Sleep also brings everybody on a common and equal level. It makes the shepherd equal to the sheep. It makes the wise equal to the foolish. It makes the queen equal to the washerwoman. The rich equal to the poor. The saints equal to the sinner. The criminal equal to the judge. And the mighty high equal to the mighty low. Every living creature on this earth have to sleep. The fowls in the air have to sleep. The whales in the ocean deep have to sleep. The fish of the coral polyps of the deep sleep. The serpents in the slime of the earth sleep. The beasts in the wild jungle sleeps. The swines in the wallow holes sleep. The eagle which masters the sky sleeps. The sheep in the green pastures and the cattle resting on a thousand hills sleep. The chicken in the barnyard have to sleep. The dog on the porch have to sleep. The fool and the philosopher, the soldiers and the sailor, the prince and the pauper, the king and the clown, and the promen and the farmer, as well as the pope, port, all of them have to sleep. Just think how life would be if no living thing or living creature had to sleep. How full of tortures the nights would really be if those who lost their loved ones never slept. What if the liars didn't sleep? How many lies would be told? But no matter how many lies you tell, you got to quit lying and get some sleep. What if the thieves didn't sleep? How many flat-screen TVs will be stolen? What if the homemongers didn't sleep? Uh-huh. How much? Uh-huh. Homemonging would go on. No matter how bad or good people might be, they all have to stop doing what they're doing and get some sleep. Oh, the blessing of sleep we could never deny, and none of us should ever try to do without it. The rich man could live without servants, but not without sleep. The king could live without royal attendants, but not without sleep. The scholar could live without his or her knowledge, but not without sleep. The athlete could live without his training, but not without sleep. The boxer could live without his boxing gloves, but not without sleep. The singer could live without a voice, but not without sleep. The preacher could live without a pulpit, but not without sleep. The driver could live without corn, but not without sleep. The teacher could live without a classroom, but not without sleep. Fleming could live without banana pudding, but not without sleep. Evangelist Moran could live without hallelujah, but not without sleep. Brother Amen could live without amen, but not without sleep. Nobody in here could live without sleep. You could not live without it. You could live without the sense of touch, sight, hearing, smelling, but nobody in here today can live without sleep. Life without this complete relaxation of sleep is impossible and unthinkable. But as important and necessary as sleep is, there are times when sleep can be sinful and shameful. Like many other blessings from God, it can be a blessing, but if we misuse it, it can turn against us. For example, fire is a blessing. With fire, we can cook our food and warm our bodies. But if somebody misuse it, they can burn your house down. Just like water is a blessing. It can clean our bodies and quench our thirst, but if it is misused, it can drown a little child. Just like wine can be a blessing for stomach ache, but if it misused, it can become a wine head. Just like drugs, some drugs is a healing to us, but if we misuse it, you can become a dope head. Just like nuclear power that can be used for our houses to light up our cities, but if you misuse nuclear power, it can become a nuclear weapon and blast us off the globe. So it is with many things that God has given us. If it bless us and we misuse it, it can become a curse, dishonorable, shameful, and the thing can be used by the devil. Proverbs says, he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causes shame. There come a time when everybody's life, when everybody must sleep. But then there's a time when you must not sleep. The policeman must sleep, but not when thieves are loose, breaking in people's homes. The fireman got to sleep, but not when the city is on fire. Soldiers must sleep, but not when he's on duty. A mother got to sleep, But I don't want you sleeping when the baby got high fever.
Amen.
Wife got to sleep.
Right.
But not when the husband come home from a hard day's work and no dinner on the table.
Right.
Husband got to sleep. But not when he ought to be out on a job so he can pay his bills. The doctor got to sleep. But I don't want him asleep while I'm on the operating table. And he got a knife in his hand. Church members got to sleep. But I don't want you asleep while I'm preaching right now. Look at somebody and say amen. Laborers on the job must sleep. But you're not supposed to be sleeping while you're on the clock. Captains must sleep, but not when it's been reported that an iceberg is adrift in the storm cloud. Pilot got to sleep, but I don't want him sleeping while I'm in midair. Shepherd must sleep, but not when wolves and coyotes are snatching the little one from the fold. Jonah had to sleep, but he should not have been asleep when God ordered him to go to Nineveh. And he went to Tarshish. The five virgins had to sleep, but not while the bridegroom tarried. The disciples of Jesus had to sleep, but they shouldn't have been asleep when Jesus said, "Watch with me for just a little while I go pray in the Garden of Gethsemane." There come a time when everybody got to sleep, but then there's a time when you must not sleep. Solemnly and slowly, with his index finger extended, Napoleon Bonaparte outlined a great stretch of country on a map of the world. "There he groans," said Napoleon. "He's a sleeping giant. Let him sleep. Don't wake him up. Because if you wake him up, he will shake the world." When Napoleon said this 150 years ago, he was talking about China. He said, "China is a sleeping giant. Don't wake him up. Because if you wake him up, he'll shake the world." And now today that prophecy is true. So it is with the church today. The devil is saying the same thing about us. There's a great giant sleeping. Don't wake him up. If you wake him up or wake her up, she will shake the world. The devil wants us to sleep and keep on sleeping. So my brothers and sisters, we need to wake up. In fact, you need to look at somebody right now and say, "Wake up." The devil is not worrying about us tithing. The devil is not worrying about us witnessing. The devil is not worrying about how well we preach. The devil is not worried about how well we sing. All the devil gets worried about is when we wake up. The devil wants us to sleep. So it is with this man of our text today. Samson had to sleep, but he should not have been asleep in the devil's lap. The story of Samson and Delilah is one of the most remarkable and tragic love stories ever recorded in the Bible. It speaks so much about life today. It is filled with love at first sight, lust, money under the table, lies, games, deception, falsehood, sex, beauty, sweet talk, whining and dying. It tells so much about the devices of the devil to bring down God's anointed and make those who are saved to fall from grace, because we're saved by grace, and become a disgrace. The story tells us so much about the lapse of the world that Christians need to watch out for. There are so many laps the devil got. There's the lap of pride. God said he hates a proud look. When you walk around with an arrogant attitude, thinking you own the world and don't even have 2 cents. That's the lap of pride. Can't get an amen out of you. Some of you right now on your face is just like I used to see a sign on my door at the hotel, do not disturb. Right now, some of you all are saying right now, don't disturb me. I'm not an amen saint. But you ought to look at somebody and say, neighbor, if you can't stand amens, you need to move to another pew. Because when I sat here, that's an amen pew. Don't get caught up in the lap of pride. Some of you are caught up in the lap of fame and popularity. You want to be famous. You want everybody to be around you. You love being in the spotlight. You like people looking at you. And you come to church wanting to be famous. Amen. Everybody don't come for worship to worship. Some folk come for worship to be worshiped. Some folk come only for a position. And when they lose their position, they go off talking about, I was led to another church. I outgrew the ministry. No, you outgrew your position. Because you came for fame and popularity. That's the wrong lap. Some of us in the world of pleasures. That's the lap of the world. All you do is party, party, and party. With rent money. I said with rent money. You boogie all night in the Red Rooster. Now you crowing like the rooster. Come on, we ain't got no hens and no eggs. Pleasure all night. Some of you are into material achievement. Some of you are in the lap of intellectuality. All you think about is your education. And all you brag about is where you've been to school. But I got news for you. It's bad to go get a PhD and forget to praise him daily. It's bad to go get a BS and forget to have Bible study. It's bad to get all your education and don't remember God. For man can know all about rocks and don't know the rock of ages. Man can know all about flowers and don't know the rose of Sharon. Man can know all about lights and don't know Jesus, the light of the world. Man can travel up 4 and 5, 6 lane highways and don't know the way, the truth, and the light. Man can know all about everything and don't know the main thing. Man can know all about jewelry and don't know the pearl of great price. Man can know how to cook all kind of bread and don't know the bread of life. Man can drink all kind of water and don't know Jesus, who's water in a thirsty land. You can know everything about the world and don't know nothing about God. Don't you get in the lap of intellectuality. Remember, and then some of you are in the lap of money. All you think about is money. Money is your goal. Money, honey, is all you think about. But I got news for you. When you get in the money lap, I want you to know something money can't buy. Money can buy a house, but it can't buy a home. Money can buy a crowd, but it can't buy a friend. Money can buy a woman, but it can't buy a wife. Money can buy a man, but it can't buy a husband. Money can buy books, but it can't buy sense. Money can buy you a heart transplant, but it can't buy a pew in heart. Money can buy medicine to stop you from hurting your tongue, but money can't buy nothing to stop you from lying. There's some things money cannot buy. So don't put your head in the lap of money. Now, if you study the life of Samson, you'll see so much about Samson, what put him in the wrong lap. Number one, let's kind of look at what got him in the wrong lap. Well, let's first of all examine, he was a womanizer. He was a he-man with a she problem. Not a she-man with a he problem, but a he-man with a she problem. He fell from hero to zero because he had no control of his passion. He was a womanizer. He loved women. The strongest man in the world. But he loved women. Yes, if Daniel was a praying man, and if Moses was the meekest man, and if Solomon was the wisest man, then Samson was the strongest man. But out of all that strength, he couldn't handle women. And he's not the only Samson in the house. Some of you are all right. Some of you act all right. But you just can't handle women. And when, let me tell you something about Samson with women. If it was a nice church-going woman that went to church every Sunday and went to school and graduated and got her degree and got her a nice house and got her a nice car and looked like she was holy and anointed, Samson didn't want her. But if she was one of those hoochie mamas, had tattoos all over, if she was one of those women had a tattoo on her neck and a tattoo on her, and had a ring on her tongue, and gold all over her mouth, and walking around with smacking chewing gum, Samson would say, "Now that's my kind of woman." He didn't want no decent woman. He wanted an old trashy woman. And that's who he was attracted to. And I don't know what it is about some folk. They just are attracted to no good folk. I don't know what it is about some of you women. You just like some no good joker. Won't work. Slap you all upside the wall. All on drugs. You'll stay with him. But a nice, decent man, that's an old church man, baby. I don't know what it is about some of you women want some no good Negro. I always say, I don't understand how a woman can go get a $200 outfit and get an $80 hairdo and pin $50 for her nails and get $200 shoes and go to a nightclub and pick up a 2-cent Negro. I don't know what it is about. Some folk just are attracted to no good folk. And Samson didn't want no church woman. Samson didn't want no good woman. He wanted a bad mama jamma. And that's what got him in the wrong lap. Another thing that put Samson in the wrong lap, he put looks in the place of value. He was going on how a woman looked. And looks above character is a dangerous thing. He said, she looked good. She pleased me. And I want her because she looked good. But how many of you all know that they don't marry nobody by the way they look? Some of you all are in love with looks, but let me tell you something. Looks have never cleaned up no house. Looks ain't never made up no bed. Looks ain't never cooked no breakfast. Looks doesn't do nothing but just look. And some of you right now are in love with looks. The Bible said, and he went down and saw a woman. Your eyes can get you in trouble. What you think got Adam and Eve put out the garden? Their eyes looking at the fruit. Am I right about it? What do you think that messed up Lot? He went down and saw Sodom and Gomorrah, the green grass, and ended up with his whole house up in smoke. What do you think put Miss Lot in trouble? She looked back and became a pillar of salt. I said, your eyes can get you in trouble. What do you think messed up Peter walking on the water? He looked out and saw the wind boisterous. Your eyes can get you in trouble. You need to be careful what you look at. And the Bible has plainly told us that when a person uses their eyes staring at the wrong thing, you can end up in the wrong lap. I'm telling you, you got to be careful what you look at. And he was going on looks. She was a good-looking woman. But some of the most beautiful folk in the world are some dangerous snakes. Am I right about it? Another thing that messed up Samson, that got him in the wrong lap, he talked too much. And he knows she's a prostitute. But what happened? In her lap, he talked too much. Some of you all be all right if you just shut your mouth. In fact, you know what? God knew how dangerous your tongue was. He put three locks on it. He gave you some tough cords to hold it down. The second lock he put on it, he gave you some teeth to keep it in. And the third lock he put on it is your lips. And out of all these three locks, it come out anyhow. And did you not know everything wear out on folk but the tongue? Folk eyes get dim, steps get short, mind get feeble, but you ain't never heard nobody tongue wearing out. Old and sick, still telling lies on everybody. Your tongue. You got to be careful who you tell your business to. One time a man, tell you about talking too much. Man one time walking down the street and he saw a talking turtle. And turtle looked at him and said, boy, you talk too much. He looked down and said, who that? Talking to me. He said, you talk too much. He looked down and said, that's a turtle. A talking turtle. Said, what's your name? He said, don't worry about my name. I just want to tell you, you talk too much. He took off running. Took off running. Ran down the street, met another man, said, man, you know what? I saw a talking turtle. Man said, man, I don't have time for all that food. Oh, no, man, this is real. I saw a talking turtle, bro. Look, I'm telling you the truth. If this turtle doesn't talk, you can kill me dead. I'm telling you, it's a talking turtle. Man said, all right, I'm going to go and see what you want. He went on back down there to the turtle. He said, talk, turtle. Turtle wouldn't say nothing. Kicked the old turtle. Boom. Talk, turtle. Turtle wouldn't say nothing. The man said, now, why did you fool me down here? I told you I was busy. You know what you told me? You said, if that turtle doesn't talk, I can kill you. Took out his gun, bam, shot him, and walked on off. And while he was lying there dying, that turtle said, I told you you talk too much. Look at your neighbor and say, you better watch your mouth.
You're tuned in to the voice of the gospel, beaming the gospel in three states to over 100,000 listeners. 70,000 watts of continuous gospel power. KAYT-FM.
The Bible said when he went out to shake himself, he found out his hair had been cut off. He had a haircut in the devil's barber shop, and he found out that morning he was weaker than any other man. They